And his thoughts are above our thoughts. And I used to think that there would be no way I could ever get into his ways or into his thoughts, but that's not true. Simply because according to the teachings, the magisterial teachings of this church, God has revealed himself in the fullness of time. God revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words have been spoken for you and I to be able to change our mind. Now, in changing our mind, it can only come as we understand. So we apply our faith into God. We put our faith into God. We lift our faith to God. Oh God, teach me that I might change my mind, that I might be conformed to your ways, that I might be transformed and empowered into your wills. That's basically what I've been pounding on all week, is that we listen to the words of God and we obey the words of God. We are empowered into being transformed into the image of God. Scripture is the revelation of my life. My life. It gives me a complete picture of my life from the beginning to the end. If you have an understanding of the beginning and an understanding of the end, you can walk in the middle of your life. I'm able to walk today because I know the end. I win. I'm victorious. I've been justified. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. I have been made the righteousness of God. That's the end. I know that by a reality of faith that is produced by love. I know that God loves me. I know that. That's a reality. I know that I'm a unique, one of a kind, an original masterpiece of God, because there isn't anybody else like me. And I also know that no one can do the work that God's called me to do. So as these things become knowledgeable to us, the thing that is removed from us is fear. Understanding God's mind and His will removes fear. Fear of sin and fear of death. It removes it. And one of the things that I've never done this in a school before, but I was really impressed in this week to attack the beginning and the end so you could see the revelation that's been given in how we're to live. How we are to live. We know what we believe. We now know who we are, that we're apostles. We're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We know that we're ambassadors. We know that we're baptized and confirmed. These are known things. Now, how do we live? We have to live from our understanding. Faith will produce that if we're into allowing our minds to be transformed by the Word of God. So, this morning, we've gotten down to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And what we discovered yesterday in the book of Revelation, that the spirituality of the church has been given. Y'all understand that yesterday? The spirituality, God has not kept anything from us. Every good gift has been given. And so then our whole lives should be desiring to seek and do the will of God. Now, in this particular church, we do it under the obedience and the authority that's been placed over us. Folks, that is critical, critical, important. Without obedience and submission, the will of God is not done. You just got to know that. You're not going to Lone Ranger this thing by yourself. Now, salvation comes to you as an independent agent, and it saves you, but it always produces community, and it always produces servants. So you and I, if we take the heart and the mind of God, we become servants to one another. And the greatest service that you can give is the wisdom and the knowledge of God to allow people to convert, to change their mind. This school is a school of conversion. Amen? How many of you have already been able to convert a little bit this week? We got an overtone. Can we kill that overtone somehow? Should I back up a little bit? Maybe I ought to back up. How many of you already experienced a little conversion this week? Let me tell you, do you all know that I've experienced conversion this week? Do you know that my life is a constant, ongoing conversion from conversion to conversion to conversion? Every day I'm converted. To what? To the mind and the heart and the will of God. If I miss a day and I'm not converted, folks, I'm in serious trouble. If I'm not being converted, I'm being unconverted. You understand? So understanding, and David speaks a great deal about that, about understanding. All we can possibly do this week is to get you to understand certain truths, and as you begin to practice those truths, the revelation of conversion starts flowing in. The grace of God is allowed to come. You open up to let it flood your heart and your mind and your soul. And it's a wonderful thing when you know that you know that you know that you know that you got something inside. I tell you, if y'all want to read some books that'll really let you know that a little lady that knows that she knows that she knows, read Mother Teresa's books. I mean, a little girl knows. I mean, when the reporters get a hold of her, she don't hesitate. I mean, she is a principal carrier of understanding because she lives by faith. Scripture does not say that it's impossible to please God without understanding, but it is impossible to please Him without faith. We have to take the whole spectrum, the whole church, by faith. And in that, as we love and serve, the revelation of God comes through. I really want to make that point this morning because every area of growth that this ministry has ever gone through, it came through some very difficult times. We have just gone through about 5 months of a very difficult time here. Yesterday it ended. It just ended yesterday. And I know some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but we have... See, one of the things that we're growing in... Do you know that the church, the deposit of faith that God gave the church, you know that's come down through the ages, don't you? That's the reason tradition is so important. And you know that the sacred scriptures were given, and that sacred scripture has been brought down through the ages through the magisterial appointment of God. I mean, that's their job, is to partake that, to covet that, to teach that, to encourage that. And as it's come down through the ages, you and I are the recipients of that. Well, what's going on in our church today is everywhere because of Pope John the 23rd and Pope Paul the 6th and John Paul the 2nd, the church is exploding. And what's happening is people like you and I, baptized and confirmed, a royal priesthood, are discovering who we are, and we're entering into the reality of the mind of Jesus. And it absolutely pulls us and moves us into community. It just does. I mean, that's just a natural, the Holy Spirit brings it in. And what we've had here over the last 5 or 6 months, we have been trying to allow what's going on here, which is a gift from God, to let it be consumed into the church, into the magisterial teaching. Not that we're not teaching from the magisterium. Our conversion has come through that. But to make it to where it is accepted universally, this gift that God has raised up must become a part of the whole church. It must be sent by the bishops. It must be recognized. And we didn't know how to do that. And it's only taken 5 months to figure it out. But it's been figured out. And it's all... And the reason that it was able to be figured out, how This giftedness can be a gift to the whole church, not just part of it. But to the whole church, the way that we is because in obedience and submission to authority and not being filled with anger or resentment or full of our own pride and through our own direction, we were able to work it out. And I'm going to tell you, folks are sitting in something right now that the world's not seen for a long time. What you're seeing is cooperation between the hierarchy and the laity. You're seeing the cooperation. and what you're seeing is that when this cooperation becomes one, there's nothing can stop it. There is nothing that can stop what's going on here. I mean, nothing, because it's God's will. And I want to tell you, the prophecies that have been coming, and the visions that have started it, the greatness of it cannot be measured. I remember asking God one time when I began to get the insight on this thing and didn't know how in the world it would work. Went to a bishop and I said, "Bishop, how's this thing going to work?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "God gave me the vision. He'll bring it to pass. Get out of here and leave me alone." It's a reality. And what we know and what I was impressed with, that I said, "God, how big can this thing get?" You know what he said to me? He said, "How big am I?" In obedience. And it's hard. You're going to go back to parishes that, "Oh, I wish we were St. Anthony's." Now, if it was like what we've established here, you wouldn't have nothing to do. You've got to go back and be formed. Amen. You've got to go back to your families and be what? Formed. So now we need understanding. So now let's get to the day's lesson. Man, this thing is so good I can hardly stand it. It's hard for me to sleep at night. Y'all know that, don't you? It's even hard for me to go to the bathroom. I got time to go to the bathroom. I said, "God, I can't go. I got to take out time to go to the bathroom. I don't want to go." Let me tell you, folks, listen. For you wonderful people that get a glimpse of what's going on here, you people that can get a glimpse of this, I will tell you it'll snuff the desire of anything to do with the world. Anything other than to convert it to God. It'll just snuff it out of your life. If you can just get a glimpse. And I'm believing people are getting those glimpses because this place is, I mean, it's just going. I mean, people are moving from everywhere. And all we're going to do is send them right back out once they go through the formation. Father Karapi has been assigned to this ministry to form the formation. That's his job. To teach the formation and to spiritually guide the formation. That's going to be his job. Isn't that wonderful? So we're being formed. We are being formed by official teachings of the church. Official. Okay? Now, not everything we say is going to be official. We have been known to make mistakes, right? But you take what you can hang on to, and that you can't hang on to, you dump it until you can hang on to it. Amen? So don't get, listen, you've already heard stuff this week that's blown your bloomers. I mean, you're just going to hang on to it. Amen? All right, we're in the fourth chapter. We're in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. What we've seen is that the church, we have been given the spirituality of the church. Let me go back to chapter 2 where it says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Those who prove victorious, I will feed from the life set in God's paradise." Listen to the next church. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. For those who prove victorious, there is nothing to be afraid of in this second death. In the second death. We're going to talk about this week the second death. It's probably the most misunderstood part of our whole life. We were born dead. We are now alive, and the flesh must die again. The second death. Amen. All right, listen to the next, the church at Pergamon. If anyone has ears to hear, over and over and over and over, it talks about for those that can spiritually hear what's going on here in the spirituality of your life. You need to really dig these things out to see what's going on in your life. Search out the Scriptures. Listen to the next, the church at Thyatira. Those who prove victorious and keep working for me until the end, I will give them authority over the pagans, which I myself have been given by my Father to rule them with an iron scepter. What is the iron scepter? It's the Word of God. Do you know that when you are operating in the Spirit of the living God, the pagans are drawn to it? Y'all know that? I'm a pagan. I've been drawn to this thing. And we rule. Folks, the world is ruled by God. The will of God is being done in the world today. We just happen to be in on it, and it's the greatest place you can ever be. I would have to be demoted. I would have to take a demotion today to be president of the United States. That's how important this is. He's working for something that's dying. I'm working for something that's permanent. You understand? But now it's okay. He's not to be criticized because he's God's choice. God chooses all authority. Don't ever get involved in criticizing. Don't ever allow your tongue to criticize anyone. So you see, these churches are at the end of each dialogue. It says, hold to that. Repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief without telling you what hour you are to expect me. That was in the church at Sardis. Let me tell you wonderful people something. I'm so convinced that Jesus knew when he was leaving. I believe that those that are truly inspired of the Holy Spirit, living a life and totally committed to be a servant unto the body, unto the world, I believe we'll know when we're leaving. I just do. I don't think they'll sneak up on me in the middle of the night and snatch my life away from me. I'm going to know when it's time. Amen? I just believe that I will. And I know that, from what I know now, I know that it is going to be a joyful departure because they're working my buns off here. Amen? And when you're working your buns and you're getting clobbered at every crossroad, you're ready to leave. Listen to the church at Philadelphia. That's what it says up here. Y'all from Philadelphia?
Not me.
Huh?
Behind me.
Oh, behind you. Okay. Listen to what it says. Those who prove victorious, I will make into a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. In other words, you will be a pillar of strength. You will be a place where people will come and receive not only understanding, but you will be a pillar of faith for other people to rest on until their faith becomes strong. Let's get over to the fourth chapter. Golly. Now, I want to read some of this, but I'm not going to read it all because I don't have time. I just want to make some points. First of all, what we're going to do in this area, you're going to begin to discover symbols. Symbols always point to something. We got a little baby in our family. Y'all see our little baby? Jamie is a gift from God, and our secretary loves this place so much. She says, can I bring my baby to work? I said, you better. We want it here. We don't want it off somewhere in a nursing, in a daycare. We want to teach it here. We want to love it. We want to be it. And so for Jamie, we put up a sign outside that said Jamie's Parking Place. Because when it rains and the weather's not good, we want Jamie as close to the building as we can get her. It's not for her mother, it's for Jamie. Okay? Because Jamie is the latest addition to this community. And we're very excited about little Jamie. Now, there's a sign out there that points to something else. Jamie's Parking Place. That's a sign. It's a symbol of something that's wonderful. What is it? It's Jamie. So when we read these today, and when you run into symbols in the book of Revelation, it's always pointing to something. Most people get hung up on the sign instead of what it's pointing to. Somebody one day walked out and said, "Look at the moon," and everybody looked at his finger. It's not the moon. There's the moon up there. But they were looking at his finger. They're looking at the pointer to what they were trying to identify. Signs always point to something. Words always point to something. Amen? All right. So now that you know that. Then in my vision, I saw a door open in heaven. I'm reading from the fourth verse, the first chapter. Most of the theologians of today say that from the fourth chapter on through to the end of the book of Revelation has not been fulfilled. It's not been done yet. From the fourth chapter on. Because it says the prelude to the great day. In other words, this thing ain't happened yet. I want you to discern as we go through this whether this has happened or not. And let me also say this. If it's not happened, we've got to have another Savior. I can tell you that right up front. If from the fourth chapter on to the end of the book of Revelation, if it's not happened yet, we are going to have another Savior come to this world because we've not been redeemed yet. Listen to this. Then in my vision, I saw a door open in heaven and I heard the same voice speak to me, the voice like a trumpet. Trumpet is a swat. Say symbol. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes the Word. Our mouths are trumpets. It's God. It's the church. It's you and I. It's the proclaimer. A trumpet is something that shouts. It's a proclaimer. I saw a trumpet saying, "Come over here." See, there's something coming out of the trumpet. What was it? Words. Come over here. I will show you what is to come in the future. Do you and I have a future? We do, don't we? There's still some time left on this life of mine. What about people that have already checked out of here? Do they have a future? No, they don't. They're in the everlasting now. There is no future in the now. Y'all get that? And in our faith, there is no future in us because we know the beginning and the end. Y'all understand that? That's the reason we can live full of peace and joy. But there is still a future. There's time that's not been burnt off of my slate yet. It ain't far. Amen. All right. Just so you understand that. With that, the Spirit possessed me, and I saw a throne standing in heaven, and the one who was sitting on the throne and the person sitting there looked like a diamond and a ruby. What are diamonds and rubies? They're symbols. I'm going to tell you, God does not look like a diamond or a ruby, but in this world, we put diamonds and rubies of what? Great value. Great value. So God is being described is of great value, okay? There was a rainbow encircling the throne, and it looked like an emerald. Around the throne in a circle with 24, there was 24 thrones, and on them I saw 24 elders sitting dressed in the robes and the golden crowns on their... Would somebody please tell me what 24 represents? Because we're going to get into a lot of numbers and a lot of symbols. And if you don't know what they mean, it'll just throw you off. What does 7 mean? Okay, then what is 24? Incomplete. See, we live in we're living in a complete time that's incomplete. You and I, we're incomplete. Y'all understand that? You don't understand that. Have I been sealed with the Holy Spirit? Has Jesus Christ died for me? Have I been promised heaven? That's complete. Now, I've got a time that's been given to me where I begin my walk. The walk is already complete. God already knows my walk. He is all-knowing. Now, as I begin this walk, it said He's kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Thank God for that. And in my walk, I begin to be drawn. There's something in me that draws me to God. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the measure of faith is, but there's something in me that desires to know God. And so as I begin this walk that's already complete and I begin to hunger and desire God, I experience the revelation of God. And at the end, I go to be with God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But you see, I'm not there yet. I'm still walking. I've still got to walk that faith walk every day. Amen. Is that making it a little bit clearer? Well, I just have to go on. Flashings of light are coming from the throne and the sounds of pearls of thunder and the front. Well, I mean, this must be a pretty great place. And he's describing this from things that we have a knowledge of. I'm going to tell you that God, the eye has not seen nor the ear heard as it entered into the hearts of man what heaven's like. These are just very poor descriptions of what's going on up there. But that's the only way they can explain it to us. All right? And it says, I'm going to jump on down. Let me see. Well, let me go ahead and read it. The Spirit of God, between the thrones and myself was a sea that seemed to be made of glass, like crystal. In the inner group rounded the throne itself with four animals with many eyes in front and back. The first animal was like a lion, the second was like a bull, the third animal was like a human face, and the fourth animal was like an eagle flying. Folks, none of those things, they're all symbols of something greater than what we can imagine. Please don't take those to be... I remember in my first vision when I saw people coming to an oasis or leaving the oasis going into battle. I saw them going with guns. Now I know that they're not going with guns. They're going equipped spiritually. But all I could see in my first vision was guns. And then I saw people coming back, wounded, carrying their guns. And they would come to the oasis, be healed, and sent back into battle. Doesn't have anything to do with guns. It has to do with spirituality. But I didn't know that then. And that's the only way God could show it to me, because that was where my mind was. You understand what's going on here? Please don't try to go out of here and say, well, you know, there's got some strange things in heaven. The animals have got bull and birds and human, and they're all intermixed. That's the only way John could see it, from his human side. He says flesh can never come in the presence of God. Can you imagine what would have happened to John if God would have given the pure picture? He would have never been able to write this. So these are symbols, and they're always pointing to something. What are they pointing to? These are pointing to God. All right? And then it says, holy, 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 it is the Lord the Almighty. He was, He is, and He is to come. Every time the animals glorified and honored the, and gave thanks to the one sitting on the throne, whose life is forever and ever. The 24 elders prostrated themselves before him to worship, and the one who lived forever and ever, and threw down their crowns in front of him in the throne, saying, "You are the Lord our God. You are worthy of glory and honor and pride." You know what we throw down our crowns before God? You know what we're throwing down? My position. Do you know that I was a great restaurant man? I threw that sucker down. I threw down my crown. And what did God give me? His crown. I gave up my pride, and He gave me a spirit of humility. I gave up my position. I threw down my life to take on His life. Y'all understand that? Folks, if you read it like this, it'll just wash you. And then we get down to the fifth chapter. Oh, let me go back to the fourth chapter. God, I wish I had about 2 days on this. Because it's so important. I'm in the last paragraph of the fourth chapter. It says, "You are our Lord and our God. You are worthy of glory and honor and power because you made all the universe, and it was only by your will that everything was made and exist." Folks, that just absolutely eliminates me from bragging about anything but God. In our creed, we say all things were made through Him. What that really gets right down to is you've never made nothing. God has made it all, and He's allowed us the privilege to walk in what He's made. What we've done, we've took the very thing that He made, and we've developed it through our own psyche and our own intelligence, and we've declared it ours, and we have become gods over it, and God's expecting us to take that crown that we've raised ourselves up and throw it at His feet and take His crown. Amen? Amen. You will never serve God through your intellect and your ability. Not to say that they aren't very important parts, but you'll serve God as you surrender your will, your ability. You will throw down your crown. You give up any area of pride left in, when you throw it down, you'll serve God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Everything that's in, you'll serve Him. And you won't have to worry about getting up and talking. The Holy Ghost that lives in you will run your mouth like a motor mouth. I mean, it'll just take off. In fact, there's so much I want to say, I have to just stop and do this and say, "Slow down." Amen. "I saw in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne there was a scroll that was written on the back and the front, and it was sealed with seven seals." Okay, now what do we know about seven seals? It's already finished. What do we know about something that's written on the front and the back? You can't put any more on it. It's full. My life is full. From the beginning to the end, my life is complete. All I've got to do is walk it in faith, seeking God, and He reveals my life to me, and He supplies those things necessary for me to do the work of God. Y'all see how easy He made it? And we're out here stumbling around, God, you got to do this, and God, you got to do that. He's already done it. He ain't doing nothing. He's letting us do. And we do in Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. We walk in Him. Not with Him. We walk in Him. He's the one doing the walk. Amen. So you got to give up your crown, right? Struggle with that for a while. But I'm a so-and-so. Well, give it up. I'm a physician. Give it up. I'm a mayor. Give it up. But you don't understand who I am. Oh, yes, I do. But you can't be something in the world and serve God. You got to be something in God. In God. Amen. That's who we come from. All right. Now it says, but there it said, so the seven seals is some. Let me just make a reference here that I believe that that's time. Now, there's a lot of things here that are going on that I really don't totally understand yet. But I believe that the scroll that was written is this. The beginning and the end. Doesn't the scripture writer say, you don't put anything else in here? And there ain't anything you can start with up here. It's done. This is done, right? So the scroll that's sealed is this. This is my life. Is this my life? Y'all see how it fits? So the scroll that has been written on the front and the back, you can't put any more into it. You can't take anything off. It is sealed. And God is the one that did it. Have you heard Father John Crawford say God is the author of Scripture? It is. He's the author. But now man wrote it. But God inspired man to do it. It's his deal. All right? It says here, but there was no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth who was able to open the scroll and read it. Nobody. Nobody could read it. It was, remember in the beginning when we talked about in the beginning of Genesis that man was living forever? There was no need for a scroll, was there? Man's life was, he didn't have to report in on a Social Security. He didn't have to get an ID number. He didn't have to have an identity. He was God's precious gift that lived forever. We didn't need to keep track of anything because there was nobody dying and there was nobody coming into the world. It was finished. Amen. We didn't have to keep track. The people that were born into the world were born eternally, and something tragically happened, and that's what we want to see. What was it that happened that has caused us so much grief? What is this thing, original sin? Because in your understanding, then you can become victorious in your walk. There was no one to open the scroll. There was no one to open up time. Genesis, the beginning of time. When I was conceived into my mother's womb was the beginning of my time. I have a unique time, and I possess this time. It's a gift from God, and nobody else can possess this time for me but me. In other words, nobody can do the work of God for me but me. And I do that in a spirit of humility and a spirit of obedience. That's the way I do the work. I'm not against nothing. I'm for Jesus. Amen? All right. It says, I wept bitterly because there was nobody fit to open the scroll and read it. But one of the elders said to me, there is no need to cry, for the line of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. See, folks, what I believe here is that God pulled John back before Adam and Eve ever failed. Before they ever sinned, he could see that. And I believe we're able to see a little bit of it in our minds. We can see we don't understand it, but we can see a little bit of it. And he saw the scroll, and he knew this scroll had to be opened, but there was nobody worthy to open it. Adolf Hitler was not able to open it. Bill Clinton was not able to open it. Now, he was there. I was there. God knew me before the foundation of the world was ever laid. I was not worthy to open the scroll. None of us were worthy to open it. Listen to the one that was able and was worthy to open up time. The guy that's in charge of time. The one that's in charge of my creation, the beginning and the end of me. Listen to what it says. There is no need to cry. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed, and he will open the scroll and the seven seals on it. He's going to open it up. Then I saw standing between the throne and his four animals and the circle of elders a lamb that seemed to have been sacrificed. In other words, folks, you and I, if we don't become a sacrificial lamb, if we're not obedient, and if we're not seeking and desiring to serve God with it, if we don't become this sacrificial lamb, we're not going to know nothing about God. The revelation of God. A sacrifice, sacrificial lamb. And it says, it had seven horns. What do we know about seven? What do we know about horns? It's power. All through Scripture, horns were made reference to His power. The horns of the altar. God is all-powerful. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. Listen to what we're able to walk into. Jesus, God, is all-powerful and all-knowing. He's everything. And it had seven eyes. What can it do with seven eyes? Everything. Nothing he can't see. See, when you understand the symbols, this thing here, it's not hard to read at all. Now listen to this. And there were seven spirits of God. What do we know about the seven spirits of God? The Spirit's complete. What is it? The Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. Are y'all liking this? Isn't it good? And all I'm doing is setting the stage for the big blast. We're setting the stage for you to be ridiculously, joyfully happy. We're entering into the mind of God. We're being transformed into His understanding. That's what this is supposed to do. Listen to this. The Lamb came forward to take the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when He took it, the four animals prostrated themselves. And they shouted aloud, "Victory to our God! Victory to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels who were standing in the circle around the throne surrounded the elders of the four animals, prostrated themselves, and touched the ground with their forehead, worshiping God with these words, "Amen, praise and glory be to the wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God who is forever and ever. Amen." Here we see God, and we see the sacrificial God that came into the world to redeem us from sin and death, to destroy and restore us back to what Adam was before he ever fell from grace. God came to do that so that we could live back in paradise, in here. Paradise is right here, folks. All kind of stuff can be going on out here and none of it bother you. All kind of conflict within your home, nothing bother you. Wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Don't be upset. Don't be even concerned. For the end is not yet. The one that hangs on to love till the end will be saved. All through Scripture. Listen to this. It says, on the other, one of the elders then spoke and said, "Do you know who these people are, dressed in white robes, and where they come from?" Now let me ask you this. When we are baptized and confirmed by the Holy Spirit, what does the church say that we are? We're a royal priesthood. What has happened in baptism? Our sins have been forgiven. We've been washed as white as we have been. Well, you know, when we baptize a baby, what do we put on it? A white what? We carry. That's a symbol of the thing that's going on inside. We are carrying God within us, and He has washed us clean. And it says here, who are these people that have been washed white? It's us. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. standing in the need of prayer. Y'all understand this? God, so good. These are the people who have been through the great persecution. Are we being persecuted? You betcha. It's not something that's going to happen. It started a long time ago when man entered into death. Persecution of human beings have been going on for thousands and thousands, ever since Adam and Eve fell. It was the beginning of the great persecution. And you and I are members of that great persecution, and our robes have been washed white with the blood of the Lamb. We no longer have a mind of the world. We've been given the mind of God. We no longer are angry or upset or bitter or full of hate. We're little lambs that have been sacrificed. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities and powers. The battle is over. The battle has been won. And the battle goes on right between your ears.